Uncensored.
Jameis was under duress all day. Jameis got hit too many times today. You know, you can't have your quarterback getting hit that many times. Whether it's scrambling, running, four sacks. I mean, we can't get him hit that much.
Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. $5 game day pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, and Miller Light. And $5 cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football is on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. At Mastro Subaru, you've got guys running that dealership that are stick carriers just like each and every one of you. And because of that, they are giving you a special deal that nobody else gets. Go to Mastro Subaru, whether it's in Orlando or right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans. Tell them you're a stick carrier and you get special stick carrier pricing just for being a Bucks fan. It's that simple. New and pre-owned vehicles, they've got a huge selection. You go in, tell them you're a Bucks fan, tell them you're a stick carrier, and they're going to take some money off of that price just for you. Mastro Subaru with two locations in Orlando and Tampa. Check them out at MastroSubaru.com.
This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else it's not going to work. You're self-sustaining.
I'd do it right now, but I don't know what that is.
What the fuck?
Somebody that knows somebody that knows something about it. And I won't answer now. Who, what, where, why? See, a lot of dudes like to act the fool now.
I was thinking about what I could say on this very podcast that would be, wow, awe-inspiring to all of you. That would, you know, just really make you think, have an aha moment, and then go about your merry way. Then I realized that we all know what has happened. We all know what's going to happen. And we all know that it's inevitable now. There are so many reasons and way more reasons to fire Dirk Koetter than there are to retain him. Other than chemistry and maybe a passing offense that's putting up a lot of yards, he's a coach that refused to fire his defensive coordinator despite a defense giving up historically bad numbers. He's a coach that has refused to find a true feature running back to help his young quarterback. He's a coach that benched his starting quarterback for the backup quarterback because, quote, but Fitzpatrick gave him, quote, the better chance to win. He's a coach that actually said at a press conference that more teams don't play their backup quarterbacks because they either don't like their backup quarterback
or don't trust their backup quarterback. What? No. Teams don't play their backup quarterback because their starting quarterback is better. Duh. I'm not angry. I'm not upset. I'm still very tired from my birthday weekend. No surprise because we'll hear many buck stakes of people that wished me a happy birthday, and it was probably one of the best birthdays I've ever had. And I have an amazing group of friends, all people that I met doing this very podcast. And we had just an amazing night on Saturday. And luckily the B4 worked. B4, listen, B4 can't magically give you rest, but I had zero issues with my stomach. And that's saying something. Because I downed so many fucking Cigar City Hi-Lis, it's ridiculous. And by the way, I don't want to say it because she endorses other products, so I can't really say, but the Cigar City Lager was a popular pick at our house Saturday night. So it was laid back. There was just a few of my close friends, and we drank and laughed and made fun of each other and played games and then went and did karaoke. So it was as good of a birthday as I could have. It was amazing. But I'm tired. So I'm not going to get all emotional about this game. You know, what were the odds that they were going to run the table and go 9-7? If you thought they were good, I'm sorry. You're disappointed now. I mean, I hoped, and I think there was a point during the game on Sunday when they were up 14-3 at halftime, and I remember for a split second I thought, maybe they could do this. Saints are good. Ravens, if they continue to play this way, they could beat the Ravens. Cowboys, kind of a toss-up, and then home for the Falcons. They might be able to do this thing. Then you start to realize not only do they have to do that, but then they need help. And this is all because of the hole that they dug themselves. But there was a shot. And just like that, gone. I mean, gone. You know, they came out. This was almost like, and Harold, y'all know Harold, most of you do, but. Good buddy of mine, contributes to the podcast. He was at my birthday, but he calls me after the game and he's like, this was a microcosm of the season. Came out. I mean, I texted Harold and Christian after the first drive. I said, that might be one of Jameis Winston's best drives he's ever been a part of. He was so efficient. He was so in control. They went right down the field and got a touchdown. It was very impressive. Very impressive. Saints defense is good. But man, to do that and then to get the touchdown at the end of the half. But there was zero, again, adjustments by the Buccaneers coaching staff. And the game plan itself was absolute bullshit. But let's start with the adjustments. None on offense, none on defense. What do I mean by that? The Saints couldn't run the ball, really couldn't do anything on offense. You know, Drew Brees is a lethal quarterback, but he needs a run game. He needs a run game. When the Saints don't have a run game, they're very beatable. Shouldn't that ring true to each of your ears? When the Saints do not have a running game, they are very beatable. But they have one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. How can that be? Because you have to have balance. You have to have a threat. What good is a play action if the guy that you're play actioning to, the defense is like, they're laughing at you. They're not scared of him or scared of what you got. And so Sean Payton, when the passing game wasn't working and they weren't able to run the ball, they went into halftime and they said, we are going to dedicate ourselves to running the football. And they did just that and ran over the Bucs defense in the second half. And defensively, they made adjustments and Dirk Koetter did not. And this offensive line was a gigantic piece of shit the entire day. The entire day. And other than Ali Marpet, the other four of them were dog shit. And if you want to be mad at anyone, you can be mad at Koetter. I had one person was mad at Winston on a Facebook page. I've got people mad at individual players. No. If you're going to be mad at anyone, be mad at the offensive line and the offensive line coach. They prevented you from having a shot at 9-7. They prevented you from having a shot at the playoffs this year. So if you were one of those that believed and you were all in, blame the offensive line. But as much as you should blame the offensive line, how in the absolute fuck is Caleb Benenach still on an NFL roster? And not only that, starting NFL games. That alone should get Dirk Koetter fired. What in the absolute fuck have you been looking at for these games, 13 of them this year? Because I will tell you this right now, there is not one game where Benenach looked good. Not one. He is a liability, and his horrific play, compounded with an awful game by DeMar Dotson, a bad game by Donovan Smith, and an undisciplined game by Ryan Jensen, led to the Buccaneers getting their asses kicked. I mean, physically, they got their asses kicked in the second half, especially that offensive line. Dedication to the trenches, building up that offensive line. The fuck? There, I still have never felt like there was an overall plan. It's almost like Jason Light and Dirk Koetter came in and they said, we're just going to keep building on what Mark Dominic had. There hasn't been any major decisions. What their major decision was deciding which quarterback to take number one overall. They haven't made huge moves. They haven't, you know, reinvented the wheel. They haven't changed philosophies. It's all the same. It feels like one constant coach GM pairing for the last 10 years. Right? I mean, they just kind of go with the flow and maybe we'll re-sign some of our guys. Maybe we won't. We'll probably just draft guys with the picks that we have. We are not going to make any bold moves in the draft. And that's been it. But in particular, what has been the plan with the offensive line? They drafted Marpet, great pick. They drafted Donovan Smith, up and down, inconsistent. You can see, I mean, whether he's talented or not, I mean, eventually, you have to be consistent on the field. And he's been inconsistent. Ryan Jensen, yeah, okay. He brings a toughness, but, you know, it's not like Jensen has come to the Bucs this year and magically they've become a dominant offensive line. If anything, they have gotten worse and worse as the year has gone on. Benenach's terrible. DeMar Dotson's terrible. To me, both should be gone. Listen, appreciate what you've done, DeMar Dotson. You've been great. You are a diamond in the rough. I don't know how they found you. They found you. They transitioned you from basketball player to offensive line. You've been on this team for a very long time as well. But I think your time is up. If the Buccaneers truly want to build a physical, dominant offensive line, they have to improve at right tackle and they have to improve at right guard. And it could be Leonard Wester and Alex Kappa, but we can't fucking tell because this coaching staff wants to fucking rotate offensive line. Rotate? There's a rotation on your offensive line? It was like same thing last year, same thing this year. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I don't know of other teams that do anything like that. So I fully anticipate a new coaching staff after this year. I don't know what's going to happen with Jason Light or not. I think it's very clear to me, and I think it's clear to you, that this is a talented roster. But as I said, Jason Light acquired the talent, but there was never an overall plan, and I don't think there was ever a team built, just a bunch of individuals. Now, does that fall on the GM? Does that fall on the coach? I think it's a combination of both. But, Dirk Cutter, so many reasons as to why he should be fired. Again, this is fourth year, not his third year. Third year as head coach, but fourth year with the organization. Are we really seeing the progress of a team that can compete year after year for a playoff berth, that can compete year after year in a division that's difficult but was actually open for the taking this year? Do we see a coaching staff that could hoist the Lombardi Trophy? Do we see a coaching staff that can make the right decisions to put the Buccaneers in primetime and playing these meaningful games in December? I don't see it with this coaching staff. And when you're as bad as they were early on in this year and desperation starts to click in and you're trying to stand by your man, your BFF, your defensive coordinator, Mike Smith, to the detriment of your own team, and you dig yourself a hole because you had to be loyal to him, you didn't do what was best for the organization. You were doing what was best for your friendship. You stuck with him. You lose another game. Then you fire him. Then the defense starts to progressively get better. The other big decision, benching James, the whole quarterback debacle. I mean, these are two major decisions. And Dirk Cutter had decisions on both of them in the same year. A year in which his team and his organization was in a nosedive. He fires his defensive coordinator and benches his starting quarterback. The only thing left after that is firing the head coach. And here we sit, 5-8. So I'm supposed to sit here. Well, what if he goes 8-8? What if he goes 7-9? I don't know. I can't wrap my brain around something like that, because that is a huge financial investment for an organization that just had to give out thousands upon thousands of free tickets and still couldn't sell out a game. Are you kidding me? You don't think that the Glazers would like to generate, I don't know, some kind of excitement? It doesn't have to be a big name coach. It could be. It could be a guy with the last name Harbaugh, but it doesn't have to be. It just has to be the right guy. Because the right guy with the right talent can turn this whole fucking thing around in a very, very fast fashion, making all of us happy, putting the Bucks in primetime, and packing that stadium again. The energy is there. So I ask you, is there any amount of games over the next three that Dirk Cutter could win and keep his job? I say absolutely no. No, no, no. So you've got just about 4 years, a year as a coordinator and 2 other years as a head coach, and pretty much this entire season as a head coach, and you're going to base your decision on whether or not to bring back the guy running your entire organization on 3 games? Sorry, I'm not falling for that. And shame on you, Glazers, if you truly are putting the future of your franchise on the next 3 games. What I hope you're doing instead is preparing for what is going to be your most important decision you've made in your working lives. This is, you have had time and time again, coach after coach after coach after coach, GM after GM, you have had to make decisions, multiple decisions, on who's going to run your organization. And this is not surprising, shouldn't be surprising to anyone. You have failed on all of those decisions. But this one is the most important. This is the one where you have a quarterback who's 24 years old, entering the fifth year of his rookie contract, with decisions that need to be made as to whether or not you're going to give him a long-term contract and how much that long-term contract is going to be worth. You have a lot of young players, offensively and defensively. But what is your plan? I would be identifying my top targets for my next head coach right now based on the players I have offensively and defensively and the schemes I believe those players fit in best. And then when I sit down and talk to these coaches, I want to get a clear understanding as to whether or not they're going to try and fit these players into their scheme, or they are good enough with the potential to become great enough head coaches to form their scheme around the players they have. If they find that type of coach with the talent they have on their roster right now, I do believe that the Buccaneers can turn it around in very quick fashion. Because today, Sunday, December 9th, in the loss to the Saints, Sean Payton showed why he is a far superior coach and has a far superior coaching staff than Dirk Koetter on the other sideline. Sad but true. And the next move goes to you, Glazer boys, family, Darcy, sorry. Bucks Uncensored has your Bucks takes. The voice of the Bucks fans, it's coming up next. This is Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored.
It's going down, fade to Black Street. The homies got at me, collab creations. Bump like agony, no doubt. I put it down, never slouch. As long as my credit can vouch, that dog couldn't catch me. Tell me who could stop with Dre making moves, attracting honeys like a magnet, giving them orgasms with my mellow accent. Still moving this flavor with the homies Black Street and Teddy, the original Rough Shakers.
Shutting it down, good lord. Baby got them open all over town. Strictly bitch, you don't play around. Cover much ground.
You know what's crazy is I've got these partners, the sponsors of this podcast. So Friday night rolls around and we were going to go have Mexican somewhere, maybe downtown St. Peter on 4th Street. I got a couple of really good Mexican restaurants that I like for my birthday. And, you know, my daughters were going to be there. Holly was going to be there. Holly's mom was going to be there. My parents. So just a little family dinner for my birthday, which was, by the way, my birthday was Saturday, not Friday, December 8th, for anyone that wants to keep track in their calendar. So my parents had to go to a concert that night. They asked something closer to Park, or, you know, in between maybe Pinellas Park and Clearwater. And so I just said, okay, Pinellas Park, Buffalo Wild Wings, right there on Park. We went there on Friday night. And first off, we ordered a shit ton of wings. So many. But the lemon pepper dry rub, the buffalo dry rub, we got buffalo sauced and garlic parm sauced. This is not me endorsing them, okay? We all know they're a sponsor on the podcast. But I'm just speaking to you from the heart right now about Buffalo Wild Wings, and then I'm going to do the same with Cigar City. But I don't know about y'all, but maybe a decade ago, maybe it was even longer ago, I remember going to Buffalo Wild Wings, and I was just like, I get it. I mean, I like all the TVs. It's good. But you know, the wings were kind of tiny, and you know, the drinks were a little pricey. And I was just like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying into this concept of Buffalo Wild Wings. That was like 12 years ago or so. I don't know what they've done in the last decade, but holy shit. The food at Buffalo Wild Wings, I mean, I would put their wings up against anyone's. And I continue to hear people try and make cases for this place or that place. I mean, the wings I had, if I could find better wings than that, I would be blown away. Because the lemon pepper, that buffalo dry rub, oh, they were so juicy and they were so gigantic. It was almost like we were eating drumsticks. Like, but like the full, like, I don't know what, the leg, not the wing. It was like, I mean, it was awesome. So Pinellas Park Buffalo Wild Wings, thank you for making my birthday very special. The food was outstanding. The service was great. And I can't thank y'all enough. Same to Cigar City. What a weekend for Cigar City beer to go on sale at Publix. I loaded up on the High Lie and the lager, the Cigar City Tampa Lager, which was a huge favorite at the house on Saturday. Thank you. Thank you. I went out and got them as sponsors for the podcast because that's where I go and that's what I drink. So, you know, and when I look at Mastro Subaru and knowing Pete Mastro for years and having connections with him personally and knowing that we've got connections to different schools in town and whatnot, and before I have a connection, somebody I work with is good friends with, and you try the product, you believe in the product, and okay, makes sense. Christian from Headlines Barber. So when I go out, it's not like I'm going out and just trying to get any sponsor, any company to come on and advertise on this podcast. I want to make sure I believe in said company. I don't want to send somebody to a place that is going to treat you poorly or rip you off or anything like that. I want you to get the most bang for your buck, which I'm trying to do with the sponsors that come on and be a part of this podcast. You have no idea how much radio and TV charge for thousands upon thousands a month. And I go to them and say, hey, a few hundred bucks, is that cool? You know? I mean, you know, let's work something out. So I want to thank the sponsors. I want to thank all of you for, you know, taking care of our sponsors. And I want to thank our sponsors for taking care of us and keeping this podcast going. And it's a good time, man. It's a good time. I know that the Buccaneers have let us down this season, but I'm past the disappointment. And I got 3 games until a new hope hopefully comes in and ignites this entire organization to where we want it to be. It can happen. It happened to the Eagles. It happened to the Rams. While the Jaguars took a step back this year, they turned it around last year. This can happen. And I think with the nucleus, the young nucleus they have right now, it can happen quickly. The right decision has to be made. And I don't know if they're going to hire a president. I'd love for them to. But if they're not, it falls on the Glazers. Falls on the Glazers. Bucks takes. Let's get to them. We shall start. Who are we going to start with today? I'll start with Jordan. What up, Jordan?
Justin, what's up, man? Jordan in St. Pete. Sending in a Bucks take. Just leaving the Saints game. I want to preface this by saying that last week I thought the offense just couldn't close that game out. This week, same shit. I mean, just could never get it going, could never close it out, you know, couldn't get enough points. But this is a microcosm of the entire year, brother. I mean, and, you know, the defense plays well, offense doesn't, offense plays well, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you guys get the gist. I mean, it is what it is. Now we're officially pretty much packing it in to, you know, looking into the draft. Hopefully we can play well throughout the rest of the year. My biggest thing real quick, coming up on a minute here, just let's hopefully, when it comes to next year, we packed that fucking stadium with people that actually want to be Bucks fans, want to stand up, want to cheer. I had weights. I was in section 115. I usually go to about 2 or 3 games a year. I buy tickets randomly in different places. Did not like where I was today. A lot of people sitting on their hands. You know, a lot of fans from other teams, and I get it. You know, I know this area. I know the gist. But hopefully next year, you know, we can get more Bucks fans in there. But you know, we'll keep lighting them torches, man. We'll keep getting going. You know, on to next week. But you know, I don't want to say it, but you know, it's a Bucks life.
Son of a bitch, how dare you use the phrase "it's a Bucks life"? However, I actually think you're very accurate. We go from Jordan to Dante, who's up next. Hello, Dante.
Yo, commish, mob members. This is Dante in Atlanta, man. Can we go ahead and fire this motherfucking dirt cutter right now, man? Like, I will never root for this team to lose, but the only positive in this loss is that we can put this, oh, if Dirk Cutter wins out, shit to bed now. I'm convinced this motherfucker started calling plays in the second quarter, man. And this, it was a whole different team. So, this is what we should do. Dirk Cutter should grab motherfucking DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson should grab motherfucking Fitzpatrick. And all three of them motherfuckers leave my city as soon as possible. I thought I hated Chris Baker. Dirk Cutter is getting to fucking Chris Baker levels with me. That's all I got. You guys speak soft. No, we not speaking soft anymore. Fuck that shit. You guys carry a big motherfucking stick. That's all I got.
Dante the Mob spoke earlier this season. It has not changed. We want change. We want change. I don't know where that change is going to come, but what we've seen is not something that I like or you like. Can't be. I mean, who likes being out of it by the midway point every single year? And that's pretty much what has happened. Oh, they go on a little win streak in the second half of the season, and we think, oh, my God. I mean, think about this with Dirk Cutter. And I should have made this in my first beginning. But when you have a new coach come in, and they struggle early on in the season, but then they pick it up in the second half, which is what we all saw in 2016, I think it was. So 2016, they went 9-7, but they played so much better in the second half of the season. The reason everyone was excited after that was because there was belief that they could carry over the momentum they had in the second half of the season to the beginning of the next season. To all those Bucks fans, all those I wouldn't even call them Bucks fans. All those people out there that are like, oh, the stick carriers, oh, yeah, they love Dirk Cutter. Now they want to fire him. No, we love the idea of having success in the second half of your first season as a head coach and carrying that success over to year two. Right? They didn't do that. Another horrific start to the season. Buried any hope that they had. But a couple of wins, second half of the season, they're playing hard for Cutter, blah, 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 blah. And okay, we're going to retain. We talked to John Gruden, but we're not giving him 10 years guaranteed. So we're going to stick with Dirk Cutter another year and hope that those wins later on in the season when the team, the players were fighting for him, carry over to the beginning of next season. Next season starts. They win 2 games. Thinking, okay, maybe this was no. Nope. Completely fall apart. Out of it by the midway point. Win 2 games against a horrible 49er team and a Panthers team that hasn't, I think they've lost 4 or 5 in a row now. So here we sit. What now? What these. And that goes back to me saying, what is it going to take? Is there anything Cutter can do to keep his job? Well, if they win out, you know, those players are fighting for him. That would be the fucking third year in a row we've said that. eventually it's got to transition to the beginning of the next year. It hasn't. You move on. You move on. 3 years, long time. Find another coach. Get some new voices in there. And take your time and make the right decision. All right, more Bucks takes. I want to get them in. We got a lot of them. Outlaw's up next. Hello, Outlaw.
Hey, Justin. Outlaw. Well, wasn't that special? Holy cow. Missed field goals and a block punt. You ain't going to win a whole lot of football games doing that kind of garbage. Man alive. And once again, Jameis looks like he's learned his lesson. Looks like he's a franchise quarterback. And I just can't help but wonder what he's going to look like when he's not running for his life half the time. Again, he was our leading rusher. And, you know, he got a little help from Chris Godwin today. I think he targeted him 10 times with one catch. That's a little uncharacteristic for Chris Godwin. Tough. And I know he'll bounce back, but I mean, them balls hit you in the hand, brother. You got to catch them. You got to catch them. It kills us. And imagine what Jameis Winston's going to look like when we have some semblance of a running game. I mean, God bless Peyton Barber. He runs his ass off, but he ain't a number one back in this league, and we need to get one. We need to get one now. So, hey, another season, another kick in the crotch, but I think I'll go in hiding now, and you know what? I'll be back. We'll be back. Maybe not this decade, but we'll be a better football team. I know we will. Hang in there, Bucks fans. Draft day is coming up. Till then, peace out. Crushed it.
Thanks, Outlaw. Let's keep it going and go to AJ, who's up next. Hello, AJ.
Justin, what's up? It's AJ from Arlington, VA. Just want to say happy birthday again. Sorry the bus couldn't get you a good birthday gift, but first off, let's just get it real. For the Bucks fans out there, Cutter is not the fucking answer, okay? He is not the answer, okay, guys? That should show you when it's time to beat a legit playoff contender team, a team that we have beaten twice in a fucking row already. It shows you he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He's incompetent. The play calling was so fucking atrocious on offense. I don't know if it was either Cutter or Monkey, but that smells like Cutter all fucking day. Like, no short passes, no 1-2-3 routes goes for Winston to just get it out really quick. I mean, the Saints' defense is good, but they ain't that fucking good where they can cover everybody. And then don't get me started on the line. The line is atrocious. The line was atrocious. We just need to keep Jensen and Marpet. Everybody else got to get the fuck out of here because trash. I don't understand it. But that shows you from coaching that Cutter has not learned anything, because you would not keep these sorry-ass linemen in. And then the defense, they did their job in the beginning. It was up to the fucking offense to do something. And correct me if I'm not, that's why Cutter was the coach, because he was an offensive mastermind. So how the fuck did you not know how to design plays like this? And then once again, defense, you did your job, but at the same time, stop giving Michael Thomas and Kamara all that fucking cushion. Jam those motherfuckers. That's all that they were doing. Come on. Some of those plays that they were making was ridiculous. Jam their asses. Get in their face. Gosh, it's just fucking ridiculous. Cutter doesn't have intensity. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He needs to get the fuck out of here. I'm so fucking sick of this. Every time where it looks like the Bucks have something, a gleam of hope or a chance, it just gets fucked up because the head coach is not doing his job. He gotta go. Sorry. Get him the hell out of here. We need a new energy in. We need a new guy in here that's gonna command the best out of his players and, most importantly, develop plays that suits his players. Just, you know, it's a Bucks life, I guess. Go Bucks. Shit.
And there we go, Bucks mob. I think we just found ourselves a new tagline. It's a Bucks life. Go Bucks. Shit. Maybe just cut out the Bucks life and just say, go Bucks. Shit.
Sledgeman Pearl here, the landscaper from Indiana. Lifetime Bucks fan, longtime listener of the podcast, Bucks Uncensored. Shout out to Bricados. Been there once. I loved it. Went there on a work vacation. But besides that, it's my first Bucks take. Been due for a long time, but I gotta send one in now because there were zero halftime adjustments by the Buccaneers today. And I think that calls for a coaching change. Just ridiculous what happened the second half and the flip-flop of the game that we saw. No excuse. Dirk, I've been with you this whole time. I've carried my stick. I spoke softly. But I'm tired of that. I'm ready to run scores up on motherfuckers and win games. Get to the playoffs. We can't do that without with you. So, peace out, bub.
Oh, another peace out. Taking a little page out of Outlaw's book. I still like Go Bucks. Shit. T's up. What up, T?
Justin, happy birthday, bro. Not a good birthday present. It's T in South Florida. Defense played outstanding in the first half. But goddamn, special teams cost us again, as fucking usual. Fuck, 25 unanswered points. God damn it, instead of them everybody worrying about if Jameis going to be back, we need to be figuring out who the fuck don't need to come back. God damn, the offensive line was trash today. Absolute garbage. If Jameis Winston couldn't move around with his fucking legs, it would have been a worse outcome. I mean, goddamn penalties and all this shit here. Fucking Jameis got his ass rocked today. Yeah, man. You can't do shit without a running game to close games like that out. I mean, the lack of a running game, it really exposed itself today. We had them fucking beat, but that fucking block punt, plus with the missing kicks, did anybody really believe we was coming back in that game? I mean, really. God damn, man. We play hard, and then it just goes to shit. But, yeah, fucking Caleb Benenock don't even need to be in a bus uniform. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but, man, he just don't know what the fuck he looks like he's doing. He looks lost as hell. And, yeah, I wonder what the whole Jensen and Jameis thing was about. I wish he'd do that shit with DeMar Dotson and Donovan Smith with that fucking lack of blocking late.
Man, go Bucks shit. Exactly. Jerry's up in, I believe it's New Jersey. Hello, Jerry.
Ah, well, fuck. Justin, Bucks mob, this is Jerry coming out from New Jersey with another Bucks take. Finished the game, finished watching the game. Didn't even finish the whole game. I turned it off in the third quarter. Couldn't take it anymore. But enough of the game. Getting to the coaching situation. Everyone's gone. Glazers are going to clean house. White might stay. I doubt it, but he may. That's really up to them. I mean, I probably wouldn't mind either way. But coaching needs to change, man. Because we need a different attitude in that locker room. Get the fuck rid of D-Jax. D-Jax is out of here already. We already knew. But fuck him. You know. Get these negative minds out of our locker room. So we can win games next year. Because that's what we want, is to win. We deserve it. On another note. Justin said, last year I was not able to make it to the draft party, and Justin said he was in the works of having it this year. So you can add New Jersey to the list of states that will be there. I know it's a little early, but put me down, because I'll be there. I'll be there, and hopefully we can get some good picks, and hopefully we can have a good off season. But gonna try not to go over my time here, but that's about it. Go Bucks.
Ah, man, close. We were looking for Go Bucks shit. Eric is our final Bucks take. Hello, Eric.
Justin Stick here. It's Eric out in San Diego calling with my Bucks take. Yo, Justin, again, happy fucking birthday, dude. Hope you had a fucking great time. And unfortunately, your Sunday was filled probably with a hangover and, you know, a terrible Bucks loss, because that was some fucking trash-ass play at the end. I don't understand it, and, well, I do understand it, actually. I get it, because we've been saying it for weeks now, and, you know, there was this two game of, maybe this is it, maybe the Bucks have fucking turned it around, maybe we're really getting there. Well, the defense is doing it, but this week the offense decided to go ahead and shit the fucking bed, and not only decided to shit the fucking bed, it was clearly coaching. Everyone could sit there and say, well, Donovan Smith did this, and, you know, DeMar Dotson was terrible, and Jensen with his fucking penalties. That's called fucking coaching. Coaching. That's what that is. And guess what? even if you're blaming the players, they're backups. There's Leonard Wester. All right. Mike Ledke. Alex Kappa. They're other players. If the guys are getting their fucking asses spanked and they look like they don't even want to fucking be out there, we'll get them off the fucking field. Because that's what you saw. That's what you saw today. That's exactly what the fuck you saw. You saw an offensive line who had no fucking desire to take over a game and win it. And I get it. The Saints have a pretty good defensive line. But I'm sorry. What? They have Cam Jordan, Sheldon Rankins, and what? This fucking a rookie defensive end. I get it, he's pretty good. But get the fuck out of here. You're telling me that a four-year starter in Donovan Smith, who everyone thinks is gonna, we're going to fucking pay a whole bunch of fucking money, can't stop this dude at all? It was terrible. It was a trash. I've never seen, I mean, I've seen it before, Dallas, but an offensive line hand over a fucking game between the offensive line and play calling. It was ridiculous. It was amazing. We ran one screen play to fucking Bobo Wilson, which is fine. He's fast. But it was on the 3rd and 17 or some bullshit like that. So, you know, it's not, you know, it's super readable and everyone's going to know that you're not going to shoot it downfield like that. So that's fine. It's all right. You know, the Saints aren't a good team. They're not 10-2 or now 11-2. Defense did well. I mean, you want to, like, I don't want people to think I'm super negative. Defense played fucking well. And it's unfortunate because, you know, Mark Duffner has done a fucking great job. Him, Buckner, and the rest of the defense coaching staff have done a great fucking job fixing the defense towards a respectable defense. With less players. With fucking less players. With guys who pull off the fucking street on week 2, 3, 4 to get his fucking backups. So, great job, defense staff. Unfortunate that the head coach decided to let George Warhop stay here, be the run game coordinator, and then to also still be our offensive line coach, and then to not incorporate any sort of a fucking screen game or any sort of fucking short passing game possible. So that sucks for defensive coaching staff. But, you know, we'll be looking at this new staff here coming up because I got a feeling it's going to be a fucking clean sweep. It's not going to be one of those like, oh, we're going to keep Munkin, Buckner, and Duffner. And that, nope, it's probably clean fucking sweep, guys. So just be ready for it. Hopefully the next staff realizes, hey, some of these guys are pretty fucking lazy, Donovan Smith, and quit. Maybe not quit, but they definitely don't try as hard as they fucking should, because that was a fucking embarrassment today. An absolute embarrassment for an offensive line to lose a game for a team.
The offensive line was terrible. They've really, if they've gotten better, it's been very minimal. And it's been a focus of Dirk Koetter and Jason Light, which that's concerning. That's going to do it for this Bucks Uncensored podcast. I hope you're not too down. I hope you look at it the same way I do. 3 games until hope is restored. 3 games until you get a new coach with a new philosophy, new schemes, new energy to hopefully bring all of these young, talented players together and start winning again. I can tell you one thing, the offseason is going to be outrageous, which means the Bucks Uncensored draft party is going to be probably twice the size it was last year, because we seem to double in size each party that we do for the draft. So we'll have that coming up in the offseason. And I'm just really, really looking forward to turning the page on the 2018 season and look ahead to brighter days, 2019 and beyond. Thanks to our sponsors again, Buffalo Wild Wings, for my birthday dinner, Cigar City Beer for coming. Well, they didn't come here, but I went to Publix and purchased a whole shit ton and played a significant role in my birthday party. Thank you to Mastro, Subaru, Pete, and Steve there, with 2 locations in Orlando and 1 off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans right here in Tampa. We love those guys giving the Bucks Mob discount there at Mastro Subaru. So thank you to those guys. Thank you to B4 for allowing me to be, get out of bed on Sunday. They did their job, and B4 is now available in public stores throughout the state of Florida, or can go online anywhere in the nation, drinkbefore.com. They will send it directly to your house. And, of course, Headlines Barbershop. Tons of locations throughout the Bay Area. Christian is the owner of all of them. You can check out the app, the Headlines Barbershop app, to find the location nearest you and to make an appointment. As for the Bucks, well, playoffs are done. They're 5-8. Watch some of these players over the next couple of weeks. Unfortunately, the adrenaline, the excitement is gone, but the anticipation has never been higher for what's to come with our franchise as they should end up making another big, big move. And I think this is going to be the biggest decision they've had since the decision to fire John Gruden. So I hope everyone enjoys their week. We're back on Wednesday with another Bucks Uncensored podcast. And we will end with this, that we are the Bucks mob. We will not speak softly. We will carry a big motherfucking stick, light up that motherfucker, and demand change. We want a winner. I don't care about offense, defense, whatever. Whatever you fucking do on the field, give us a winner, please. Go Bucks. Shit.